So the beauty is that God speaks. Beauty is that God speaks to us, and He loves us so much. When He brings His word, words like that, I don't want to just quickly skim over these things, and these are moments that we need to listen, because it's almost like it's a charge, it's a command, it's a battle command, I believe, even from the Lord tonight, to be ready, a people to be ready, a people to be vigilant. So in this week, last week actually, it started as the Lord was laying something on my heart, and it was just really, really brewing. And earlier this week, even before Ewan was here, I sent our elders some things that I felt in the Lord. And one of the things was freedom, absolute freedom. And we started seeing something of that in a major way. You know, I can almost tell you right now, some of you that were here Wednesday and Thursday didn't even know that you were bound by something. And when you walked away, you felt a 10-ton lighter. Who was here on Wednesday and Thursday? That Thursday, you walked out and you were like, put up your hands, really. Those are testimonies. Look at this. Of people that are free. And you know what? Wednesday night, they walked in a little bit scared and a little bit didn't know what was happening. And God set them free. Somebody prayed it. I don't know who said it in our elders meeting or something. Ewan McRae has gone, but Jesus is still here. So that's okay. And I think we sometimes get so nervous when the apostolic comes in or a prophetic guy comes in. And we're like, just can we keep him? You know, just I'm telling you, I want to keep Jesus. That's all I want. Freedom is in this place. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke. The book of Luke. I'll tell you guys when to put up that little picture. It's coming a little bit later. Sometimes I think the Bibles that we have, and hear me out when I say this always with fear and trepidation in my heart, but the Bibles that we read nowadays has done us a bit of a disfavor by putting things in chapters and verses. And then somebody thought it would be great to call that chapter something. And then you read the chapter and you kind of think about it and you do a bit of exegesis on that piece of scripture and you kind of go, but it's really not really about that thing that the guy said it is about. Like the Lord's Prayer. Jesus never had to pray that prayer and go, forgive my sin. Give me my daily bread. He gave it to us. We should call it the disciples' prayer. But we call it the Lord's Prayer. I know it's semantics, but it sometimes shifts your brain a little bit. Your mind and seeing the scriptures. And tonight we're going to read a very well-known parable. The parable of the sower. But I want to say the two constants in this parable is the sower and the seed that stays constant. There's four variables in there, and it's the soil. We should call it the parable of the soils. In acts of fact, when Jesus explains it, he says the soil is your heart. So there's four types of hearts that we're going to look at tonight. I want to focus on one of them. I felt it was a warning, an encouragement, but also a time of reflection tonight as you hear the word of God. So Father, right now, let your Holy Spirit shine on the scriptures. Let your Holy Spirit interpret the scriptures for us. Let your Holy Spirit come and teach us concerning all things tonight, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. So let's read quickly. Let's start in Luke chapter 8, verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. How nice is Jesus? He's explaining it to us tonight. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares. Please note the three things here. Three is the crowd always. Cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. I think we're reading thus far. So, the sower and the seed in this parable, like I just said, they stay constant. Any one of us can be a sower and should be a sower. And every single person that have heard the word themselves should go out, like it says in verse 5, and go and sow seed. What seed do we sow? We sow the gospel. We sow the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what each one of us will need to do. You see, it's not the skill of the sower that we look at here tonight. We're not looking at the effectiveness of the seed even tonight. But we are looking at whether a seed will germinate in the soil and bear fruit. That's what we're going to look at tonight. So what is your heart like, in other words? I want to say this from the outset, that this could be any of us in any stage of our life. We can be all for these grounds. I remember my heart was hard towards Jesus before I turned 18. My heart was far from the Lord. There was nothing in me that was seeking Jesus. And I remember there was this family that lived next door to us, the Ziermans. And they always invited me over for tea. I've told the story before. They would invite me for tea, but I only went because they had a very nice-looking daughter. Ulterior motives. And they would give me nice tea and nice cookies. And then at the end of it, they would ask me, can they pray for me? And I would go, yeah, sure. Well, you just gave me tea and cookies. I need to be nice and obliged. You can pray for me. But nothing happened. Nothing happened in my life. Until there was one moment, October 1992, when the Lord came and spoke to me in my room and arrested my heart. And the seed fell in good soil on that day and yielded. 32 years later, I'm still here. Where some people said to my mom, it's only a phase. It's a long phase. A very long one. So, let's get into the scriptures a little bit tonight. Let's look at quickly at Romans 10, verse 15. There is an importance to the sower. And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. How, the previous verse said, how will they hear unless somebody preached to them? So it is important. It is important that you sow the seed. It's very important. It's very important tonight. You'll see how you even sow that seed as well. Ephesians 6 verse 15, as part of the armor of God, it says that our feet are shod with the shoes, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Each one of us should be ready in a season and out of a season to preach the gospel to anybody. We should always be ready to tell people about the goodness. Every morning I stand on my stoop before I go and drop my kids off, and I say, Lord Jesus, may we be salt and light to our friends today. Give us opportunities. A good friend of mine years ago said to me, Stefan, if you have a boring day, it's your own fault. As a Christian, if you have a boring day, it's your own fault. Because God has given you so many opportunities to preach the gospel. And think about them. The opportunities that's next to you, maybe in the bus, in the wherever you go, where you travel, whatever you do, at work, showing the love of Jesus, showing the kindness of Jesus. Listen, it's the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance anyway. The sower went out to sow. Can you put that picture up? The method of sowing that was used, you might not see perfectly, but the guy on the left-hand side, far left-hand side, can you see how he's fanning the seed? This method of sowing is called broadcasting. Radio stole it from sowers, by the way, if you didn't know that. Now you're learning that tonight. The radio stole this from sowers in Israel. The method that they used is called broadcasting. They would throw the seed out. And now, as you can see, there are, on this land, you won't see it, but there are these furrows, there are these trenches that they've actually dug already. And the seed would fall. Now, we're going to get into how the seed falls and why the seed falls into certain places. The land will always be tilled by the farmer. There's no weeds in there. There shouldn't be, but I'll tell you why there's weeds in there. There shouldn't be rocks in there, because you can't sow on rocks. And I'll tell you why the Bible uses the word rocks. But this is the method that was used of sowing seed, broadcasting. You would carry this big bag of seed and cast it forth by hand over a relatively large area, hoping, of course, that most would fall in the deep furrows he had plowed in the soil. It's you and me. We are the sowers. I said that before. The sower is anyone who sows the seed of the gospel. I want to reiterate that. And it should be everyone who professes to be a Christian. So this parable sums up the different ways the word is received over a lifetime and how some people have received it. And there's a difference between, and you choose that in your life, whether I'm going to be fruitful or unfruitful, whether the seed's going to fall in the good soil of my heart and you're ready to receive that word, or you choose that it could fall on the hard soil or on the one that is overgrown with thorns and thistles. So the four different soils that we're going to look at tonight is the, and I'm going to call it the heart. But it's the first one is the callous heart. The callous soil, the hardened soil. In actual fact, some of the guys would refer to it as the beaten path. So there would be these little pathways that has been trodden by wagons and horses and people walking through the land to get from one point to the other. And they say that the ground became so hard that it was like cement. So now in the broadcasting, in the sowing, some of the seed falls onto that ground. And this is the person that has got a hardened heart. This is the person that the Bible says, do not harden your heart, for today is the day of salvation. This is the person that listens to even me preaching tonight and go from here and go, I'm okay. I'm okay. Now, I've been like that. I've been there. I've had a callous heart. And I want to say to you, it's not just unsaved people. Sometimes we harden our hearts because of offenses that have come in. We harden our hearts and we go, we don't want to listen to the gospel anymore. We don't want to listen to the good news anymore. Our hearts are hardened. Callous, to be callous means to be made insensitive. Having feelings or morals deadened. Our feelings are dead and numb. And our morals are deadened. We don't care anymore. We are emotionally hardened. We're indifferent. We're unsympathetic. You see, when we look at soil like that, who wants to sow seed there? Some of us might become discouraged because we've been sowing seed into people whose hearts have been callous. They don't want to listen. But I want to say to you, this is a parable, and it does not state that the soil cannot be altered by plowing. You can break up that fallow ground. So let's look at Galatians quickly. Galatians chapter 6. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. You might have been praying for a family member. You might have been praying for a brother or sister, and nothing has happened. I want to say to you, do not grow weary. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. There might be people amongst us, and it says, carry on loving them. Break up the ground. Break it up. You see, most of us have hard soil until God got our attention and plowed our hearts. And I think the way that God uses, the plows that God uses is affliction and sometimes hardships, difficult things that we go through. You go through a difficult trial and you're like, there's a loss of something. Something happens, something bad happens. And all of a sudden, people stream to the church. Why? Because they know there's only one hope. He's the light of the world and people are drawn to the light. Let's remember this, Jeremiah 23 verse 29. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Preach the gospel. Don't give him your thoughts. Don't give him your ideas. Preach the gospel, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel. Not my thoughts, not like, hey, Reg, I think maybe. No, no, no. Jesus loves you. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. That is the truth. People don't want to hear good news anymore. It's like we're sucked into bad news all the time. We're looking for bad news. But Good news. Give him good news. Keep on doing it. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. This is what I just quoted. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. People that are in this condition, the callous heart. And I want you to notice something. As Jesus was telling this parable, and if you're making notes on this, that he says it was along the path. The next one will be on the rock. The other one will be among the thorns. And the last one will be into the good soil. There's a superficiality about all of the ways that they receive the word of God. It's not penetrating. It must penetrate the heart. Acts chapter 7 verse 51. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in hearts and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Come on, if you've never heard a rebuke, there's one. What is the next one? What is the next soil that we do? Because I want to move on to the third one, really. Is the shallow heart. The shallow heart or the shallow soil. There's no depth. It fell on the rocks. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, and then Daniel. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. This is a warning from the writer of Hebrews. Check your hearts, brothers, lest there be in you an evil, unbelieving heart. So what happened is, there's no rocks in that land anymore, but there was limestone. In Palestine, there was a lot of limestone that was just underneath the good soil. So what they would do is they would sow, and it would grow up. There would be a plant. But as soon as the plant's roots hit the limestone, it dies. Because the Bible tells us, because there's no moisture. There's no water. The limestone takes away all the water. So immediately the plant dies. Because there's no water. Water is life. We need him. Daniel chapter 9 verse 9 to 11 says, to the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness. For we have rebelled against him. And have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God by walking in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned aside. We all have fallen short of the glory of God, refusing to obey your voice. And the curse and the oath that are written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out upon us because we have sinned against him. We need to be careful, my friends, that we don't keep on sinning, that our hearts are not so shallow. You see, rock hearers heard the word too, but they did not let the word break them. I'm hearing the word. In actual fact, it says that they received it with joy. You know what? You can come to church. You can receive the word tonight. You can go from here and feel super good. But by tomorrow morning, it's gone. It's not about an emotional response. It's not about goosebumps and tears. It's about repentance. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says they were cut to the heart. They were cut. And they said, what must we do to be saved? And Peter says to them, repent. Repent. Turn from your wicked ways. Forsake this fallen world. And turn to Jesus. Save yourselves from this wicked generation, he says. This happened today. on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out and the church started with 3,000 people that were added. Salvation. Received. They received the word with joy. They are emotional about hearing the good news, which is a good thing. Only if joy continues. If joy is tomorrow morning, the same as joy was tonight, and you continue in joy, then it becomes your strength. It's not just about an emotional, yes, yes, Jesus. Believe me, that happened to me a few times in school. Nothing against the RCSV. I love the RCSV. But I went on these camps and I cried a lot on these camps. I did. I remember this one guy preaching and I was like, oh my goodness. But by Tuesday, it was gone. It's gone. The limestone, the rocks just withered away. The third heart that I want to look at, and this is the one I want to spend some time on. It's the one that fell among the thorns. I call it the crowded heart. And this is really my sermon of tonight. It's called the crowded heart. This heart can also be called the divided heart or the preoccupied heart. Let's read quickly what happened to this in Luke chapter 8. It says, it's in verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it, and some fell into good soil. So there's something that is happening to this crowded heart. There are things that's already in the ground. So I must tell you that the farmer would want to take all the weeds out of that land immediately. But in Palestine, there was a weed that would grow 6 foot high. 6 foot high. And it would literally choke the life out of anything if it grew next to it. But that's not just about choking the plant. It would steal all its nutrients. It would steal everything that that plant needs to yield a crop 30, 60, and 100 fold. So while the farmer will try everything, and we will try everything as shepherds to try and get some things and say, Lord, help this person, that all that stuff is out of the person. You need to also constantly till the ground and constantly look for the weeds that come up with the grain in your life. And those weeds are called three things. And we'll look at them just now. You see, the thorny soil represents those who are choked out of a walk with God by life's distractions. These are the ones who have heard. They heard the seed of the gospel, but as Jesus goes on to point out, they don't heed the gospel. In Mark chapter 8, verse 21, not so far after that, he says to them, it's not just about hearing, it's about doing. You need to do, you need to obey. So we can hear the word of God, but we can stop there. See, the world's worries, riches, and pleasures take any benefit the seed has to offer or any nutrients the soil possesses. It takes it away. Swallow up any opportunity for fruit to come to maturity. It says that it did yield fruit, but it never matured. Church is full of people like this today, unfortunately. They never mature. Because the cares of this world has choked them. And I felt this as a warning, Josh Jen, Mossel Bay PM, that we need to be a people that's constantly weed. We should be weed whackers all the time. We should be clearing the gardens of our hearts from the sin of the weeds of sin. Not just weed, like that as well. If you're smoking weed, stop that. As well. I'm not talking about that weed, but I'm talking about that weed. So everybody's hearing weeds now. All of the oaks are like, oh, that's the green herb of the land that the Lord said we should partake in. No, not that herb. Yo, when we start taking Genesis out of context so we can smoke marijuana, come on. Yo. Help us, Lord. You see, pleasures. We're going to look at this now, but the word pleasures is the root word for hedonism. Who knows what the word hedonism means? Come on. Hedonism. What does it mean? Don't you know what the word hedonist means? Who's a hedonist? Self-pleasure, yes. People that seek pleasure. Thrill seekers. Our society is so hedonistic. Because it's all about me. It's all about me. There's not a life of sacrifice. There's not a life of laying down your life and say, Jesus, have your way. It's about seeking pleasures. See, this is a person who receives the word and honestly tries to live for Jesus. He honestly does. Christ and his followers and the church, all of these things, they are attractive. You come to Joshua and you love it. You're like, this is the best thing since sliced bread. I love it. This is amazing. I've never been in a place like this. I've never seen a people like this. They love, they care, they sing amazing songs. The chairs are a little bit hot, but I can deal with that. The coffee is excellent. Yes. And that person, he joins right in, even professing Jesus, and he walks with Jesus on a daily basis. He starts growing. But there is one problem. The thorns of worldliness. He is unwilling to cut out completely all the things of this world that will pull him back. He's unwilling to cut himself loose from the things of this world. That's Jesus calling on speed dial. It's Marjan. Marjan's like, where's my phone? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Read that quickly before I read it for yourself. Go out. What does that mean? It means go out, hey. If I tell my dog to go out, my dog needs to go out. Go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be a sons and daughters to me, says the Lord God Almighty. Come out from them. The word sanctification, to be set apart, that's what it means. God, when he saves you, he sets you apart from the world. We're in this world, but we don't belong to this world. The Bible calls us aliens, strangers, sojourners. We're traveling through. This is not my home. Heaven is my home. The presence of Jesus is where I want to be. Sure, we live here on planet Earth. Sure, we need to be here until the Lord says, come be with me. But at the end of the day, I don't belong here. And the things of this world will not pleasure you. You can try. I'm telling you, as a born-again believer, you're ruined for the ordinary things. They mean nothing. You see, this person, he's living a double life, trying to live for Jesus and yet still live out in the world. He keeps right on growing in the midst of the thorns. The thorns are just killing him slowly. And note what happens. He bears fruit. Fruit does appear, but it never ripens or matures. And you know what happens to fruit that is never mature? It never gets plucked and used. Never. Jesus curses a tree. Curses a fig tree. Have you wondered why Jesus cursed the fig tree? In that season that he was walking past, if there was leaves on that tree, it was a sign that a young fig would come out already. And Jesus was so hungry, and he was like, if there's leaves on that tree, there must be little figs already. And when he sees the tree, and he says, there's no fruit on there. This tree is lying to him. Because we show the leaves. We come to church. We act in it. So we raise our hands. We go, hallelujah. We get the Christian lingo. We go, how are you doing? I'm blessed with heaven's best. Really? We do that. We show our leaves. You know where I saw fig leaves the first time? In the Garden of Eden when they tried to cover their sin. And Jesus curses that tree. He uses that as an example. He says, Israel, you look like you should be good. You look like you should be bearing fruit, but you're not bearing fruit. And I weep for you. I cry. Because you're not bearing fruit. This is the delight of the Father. Look at John 15. He says, my Father wants that you bear much fruit. That ripens. That people can pick. That people can eat. That people can partake from. That is what it's about when we bear fruit. Not to look nice and export the fruit and write a book about it. See, these Palestinian weeds were choking because they have a more superior root system. The world has got a more superior root system, and it will kill you if you continue in it. See, weeds will always grow faster. If you water your garden, what's the thing that grows the quickest? The weeds. They will grow faster than anything else. It's a deceptive soil. The crowded heart is a deceptive soil. It looks good on the surface, but there is other life there. Dangerous weeds. Alive already in the soil, growing faster and killing the good plant. Weeds will always win in that environment, squeezing the life out of the good plant. Isn't it interesting that when God cursed the land because of Adam's sin, he said, both thorn and thistles, it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. And how interesting is it that the same word associated with a curse in Genesis chapter 3 is associated with Jesus, the one who became a curse for us. What did he wear on his head? Crown of thorns. He's the Redeemer. He's got a plan. He's got a plan to take you out of this world. He's got a plan to be separated, to be holy. The word choked, it says it choked. It means to throttle or to suffocate. It means to inhibit the action or the function of development of something. So the three things that is mentioned is worries, riches, and pleasures. The word worries is the word that we get the word anxiety from. In actual fact, what it means to be drawn in separate areas, separate ways, it means to be pulled apart, to be drawn in different directions. And that's exactly what anxiety will do to you. You will have a divided heart. It will pull you apart. It will kill you in the long run. A few weeks ago, I was at the doctor. I have a very high blood pressure. She says to me, blood pressure is quite common today. To young people between the ages of 24 and 30, right now. And I said to her, is it because of our eating habits and everything? She said, no. You must understand, the young ladies that come in here, they're about that thin. And they exercise and they do everything. And most of it is caused because of anxieties and fears. Anxiety is a killer. The cares of this world is a killer. It wants to take you out. It wants to stop you. So tonight I feel like the Lord wants to set people free from being pulled in all directions, anxieties and worries. It actually means to be pulled apart. James chapter 1 verse 8 says that the man that is double-minded is unstable in all his ways. Don't be pulled into two directions. What is the riches or wealth? What is that about? It means abundance. It means plenitude. And literally it means to refer to material wealth or prosperity. Now, in itself, sounds fantastic. But it's an abundance of earthly and temporal goods. Material riches are deceitful and choke out reception of the word of God. It's difficult to preach the gospel to a rich man. It's very difficult. My bank account's full. I don't need Jesus. Not my bank account, just saying. Ephesians, let's look at the contrast. Ephesians 3 verse 8. To me, though, I am the very least of all the saints. This grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches, the same word that is used here, the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for Jesus, the richness of Christ. That's what we're looking for. And the last thing that we look at is this word hedonism or hedos, pleasure. To have sensual pleasure, a state of condition of experiencing pleasure for any reason, and thus speaks of gratification and enjoyment. Hedonism is the doctrine that pleasures or happiness is the sole or chief in good life. That's what it's about. If you can reach that point in your life that it's all about pleasure. It's an insatiable pursuit of self-satisfaction in our modern society. Insatiable. The next thing. I've got to buy this thing. I've got to do this thing. Just constantly chasing the pleasures of the world, and that will choke you. So I want to end with the good soil, the fourth soil. It's what a farmer wanted all along. When the seed hits that good soil, it produces an amazing crop. The good soil means it doesn't have any of the prior conditions. It's not hard. It is soft. It is not shallow. There's no limestone in it. It is deep. It doesn't contain weeds. It's clean. This is the prepared soil, and it produces really an amazing crop. Matthew and Mark both use, and they actually talk about 30, 60, and 100-fold. Now, in Palestine in that day, if you said, I had a 10-fold crop, people would look at you and go, wow. If you said, I had a 7.5 crop, people go, that is fantastic. So Jesus goes out of his way to make this super abundant and say, 100-fold. That's the context. So you can be blessed with heaven's best in Jesus. You can be super abundantly. You can be. You can only find it in Him. Jesus was actually trying to stagger the people. He wants to talk about a seed that falls in, that produces an unimaginable fruitfulness. I would love you to go read. I'm not going to read it. I would love you to go read Colossians, if you're taking notes, chapter 3, verse 1 to 17. And the second thing I would love you to do is to go deeper into this portion of Scripture in this week. Ask the Lord, what else is there? And then ask Him, search my heart, God. Search me and know me, God. Search if there's any of these things. Is there a hardened soil in me? Is there a hardened heart in me? Is there a shallowness in me? Is there a crowded heart because that's the one I've felt? Or is this a prepared soil that is ready in season, out of season, and producing fruit that pleases the Father? Close your eyes, please. I want to read something to you. In closing, in ending, it may not be some heinous deed that chills our hearts and choke the seed. It's often just a trifling toy that grabs our eye and steals our joy. It's not always the big things, Lord. It's not always... It might be a little thing even tonight for some of us that has grabbed our attention and choking the life out of us. And we're not growing. We're not maturing. And we constantly feel like we're hitting a ceiling.